Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 55. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And our subject this morning is no victory for death. No victory for death. If we believe in all that the Word of God speaks to us concerning, we will have victory over our greatest enemy, death. And these tremendous words come at the end of a tremendous chapter in the New Testament, chapter 15 of the first inspired letter to the Corinthians, a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. That's why it's called Corinthians. It's the letter to the Corinthian believers, the church in the city of Corinth. And it's a letter that some of you will be very familiar with, deals with many important issues concerning the church. What is the church? What are its priorities? Who are the members of the church? How do you deal with certain issues? Church discipline is mentioned, the order of worship, how everything should be done decently and in order, not chaos or confusion. All of these things are in this first letter to the Corinthians. But now as the apostle draws to the end of the letter, he perhaps describes the most glorious feature of the Christian life. And that is, how does it all end? How does it all end for a Christian, for someone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ? How does it all end? Does it end with death, like it does for everybody else in the world? Well, the Apostle Paul says, no, of course not. And this is a great feature of the Christian faith. I have said it many times before, but it seems to be the case that nowadays, people who call themselves Christians and who profess faith, they don't seem to understand anything about what occurs at the end. They don't seem to have any eternal perspective. Religion for them, Christianity for them, is just for this life. What do you get out of this life? God can help me in this life, my job, my relationships, and that's their religion, that's their faith. But really, the great aim of the Christian faith and the great desire for all Christians is for the end to come, and for them to be taken up to be with the Lord. And indeed, the apostle says, even in this very chapter, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If in this life only, if your understanding of God is just for this life, what I can get out of God in this life, and you don't think about heaven, and you don't think about eternity, you don't really understand any of those things, you are the most miserable of all men. What's the point of being a Christian if you are not going to go to heaven? What's the point of coming to church if you don't have eternal life ahead of you? There is no point. So that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And so we constantly urge people to think, where will you spend eternity? Whether you profess faith or not, do you know where you're going at the very end of your life? Because these things are so important. Where are we going? Let's just look at these words in verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? These are distinctly Christian words, as I've already mentioned. No unbeliever can say these words. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? These are words of encouragement and great comfort for Christian people, for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And well, they are of great comfort, particularly at this time, at this present time. What words for us to think upon? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? It seems at the present time, when we observe everything that is going on around us, it seems that death is enjoying a great victory over us, does it not? Over the whole world. And well, particularly in this country, we see the numbers of deaths every day, well over 1,000 at the moment. And the death tally, well, we are told, will remain high for some weeks to come. It seems that death has a stranglehold over us. Death is in the ascendancy. And well, much has been made of the present coronavirus, but I've often mentioned over the last year or so that even if there were no coronavirus, there is still death in the world, of course. Death still reigns in the world. We've passed that grim landmark, as it were, of 100,000 deaths because of the coronavirus in this country. But do you know that even in a normal year, every day 150,000 people die around the world? 150,000 deaths just in a single day. In a single year, just a normal year, 60 million people die every year. 60 million people, that's just a normal year without any pandemic. Death is always claiming a victory over us. And it seems to be increasing. It is estimated that the number of deaths in our present society will soon outstrip the number of births. There will be more deaths than births. Death is increasing in our society. Death is claiming a great victory, it seems. And well, there are so many different ways that we can die, not just the coronavirus, so many different illnesses. We have cancers, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, strokes. In fact, I was reading the other day that a significant number of people who had quarantined, who had shut themselves away to protect themselves from the coronavirus, had only actually died of other causes. They'd had heart attacks. They'd had strokes. They thought they were beating death. If I just stay in, death can't get me. But death claimed the victory nonetheless. Death has the victory over us. So often has the final victory. There is no evading it. There is no eluding it. Death, as you all know, can come at any time. Whether we are young, whether we are old, whether we are middle-aged, death does not discriminate in any way. Death can come very suddenly. Sometimes there does not seem to be any illness. You hear of people dying and, well, they were a picture of perfect health. You hear of Premiership footballers dying. I remember one international footballer, I think he played for Cameroon. It was the middle of a game, and well, he just collapsed and died in the center circle. And everybody said, all his teammates said, he was the fittest member of the squad. Nothing wrong with him. But death claimed the victory. This is what the Apostle Paul really is saying here. There is a victory that death claims over each and every one of us. And we cannot evade it, whether it is in times of pandemic or otherwise. Death can have the victory over us. Death can come at the most unexpected times, as I've just mentioned. But you know, death can come even when people are enjoying themselves. Even when people are pursuing their dreams and their ambitions. I was watching a documentary about Everest, Mount Everest. And well, so many people go to climb Mount Everest because it's their dream. It's their great ambition. This great mountain I have to conquer it, and then all my dreams will be achieved. But you know how many people have died trying to climb Mount Everest, trying to reach the summit? 307 people to date have died. They thought they would conquer that great mountain, but you cannot conquer death. Death claims the victory over you. Dear friends, I have to say this because this is the state of every single one of us. Death has a victory if we do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And sadly, and I say this with some solemnity, I've mentioned some of the ways in which death can come, but you know, sadly, some people even choose death. Some people choose death. It is estimated that over 2,000 people around the world globally take their own lives in a single day. They take their own lives. And in fact, in this country, suicide is the biggest killer in men under the age of 45. The biggest killer. And that's a very sobering fact. People choose death. People who no longer have any joy in life, they realize that life is empty and meaningless. There's no hope in their lives. And so what do? They choose death. And many people, this is so sad, dear friends, death claims the victory over them. And this is why we need the Lord. What a solemn thing that people can choose death, the most solemn cause of death. But you know, this is actually the original cause of death. How did death enter into the world? Well, we spoke about this not so long ago, but death entered into the world because it was chosen. Man chose death. That's how it came in the first place. We all know the account of Adam. And I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I believe it was, God made the world perfect with no death in it. There was only life in that perfect world. But man, Adam, chose death over life. God told him, the day that you eat of the fruit of that tree, that forbidden fruit, you shall surely die. That's what God told Adam. Adam knew that if he took the fruit, he will surely die. But what did he do? He chose it. He chose death. Through his sin against God, he chose death. And that's how it entered into the world. You know, this is the way it still is now. When you choose to sin, when we choose to sin against God, what are we really choosing? Are we choosing to have a wonderful time? Are we choosing to do things our own way? If I sin, I'm doing things my way. I'm going the way that I want to go. No, dear friends, you're choosing death. That's what you're choosing. You're choosing a way that ultimately leads to certain death. Adam, you shall surely die if you sin against me. Well, it's the same message even now to every single one of you. If you sin against me, you shall surely die. That's what it is to sin. And Adam sinned against God, and that meant death for himself, for his wife Eve, for all of his descendants, death, physical death and spiritual death. Spiritual death. Do you know what spiritual death is? That's our state by birth. That's what the Bible says. We're spiritually dead. What does that mean? Some people don't understand. It doesn't mean we all go around walking about like zombies or anything like that. Spiritual death, it speaks of separation from God. That's how you could define it. Separation from God. In fact, you could even define death itself as separation. You know what the sting of death is? Why death hurts so much? Why it's so painful? Why we grieve over those who have died? Because it's a great separation. You are separated from your loved ones, your husband, your wife. They die. You're no longer with them. You're separated. That's the sting of death. That's what death means. You will be separated from someone you love, someone you know. You'll never see them again. Death is separation. And so that's the same for spiritual death. Spiritual death is a state of separation from God. You don't know him. You don't know anything about him. You are separated from him. Your sins have separated you from God. It's like God is on one side, you are on the other side, your sin is in the middle. You are separated from God. That's spiritual death. And by the way, that's what hell is. When we think of hell and eternity in hell, hell is separation from God forever. You are eternally forsaken by God, separate from him. That's what death is, the second death. That's how it's described in the scriptures. We have the physical death, that's our first death, and then we have a second death, being separated from God forever. That's what hell is. That's what death is. Separation from God. But dear friends, this is why the Lord Jesus Christ came. He has come that we may be reconciled to God, no longer separate, but reconciled to God, knowing him and loving him. He is the only way we can find acceptance with God the Father. Dear friends, we must understand this. So many people hate this teaching, hate this doctrine. I don't need the Lord Jesus Christ to find acceptance with God. All the other religions, they hate this. You don't need a savior. You don't need a messiah or anything like that. You can be good enough. You're a good person. You're a spiritual person. You're a religious person. You do good things. Is that what you think? Maybe there's somebody here. I'm a good person. And therefore, I don't need a savior. I don't need the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, are you really a good person? Do you know what the standard is for being good? It's like somebody trying to get into a university, Oxford University. You may think to yourself, oh, I could get into that university. But do you know what the standard is? Or have you just made the standard up in your mind? What's the true standard to find acceptance with God? The true standard, well, we see it in the law of God. The Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, we see the holy law of God. And when we read that law, well, we see that the standard is too high. It's too high for any single one of us. We read this, well, if you look at verse 56, I've neglected these words, but verse 56, the sting of death is sin. It's because of sin that death has entered into the world. And the strength of sin is the law. The strength of sin is the law. What does that mean? Well, that means that the law, it shows the great depth of our sin. The law does not lead us to heaven. You cannot get to heaven by following the law because the law is too high for you. The law only serves to show your sin and to show how bad your sin is, to show the strength of your sin. So you read the law, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not lie. And you think to yourself, I've lied so many times. I've deceived people so many times. This law actually condemns me. Thou shalt not kill. Well, maybe nobody here has killed anybody, but God can see your heart. And if you've been angry at somebody, if you've had great hatred against somebody, well, that's murder in your heart. You've murdered somebody in your heart. You hate someone. That's where murder comes from. That's where it begins, from the heart. And you've broken that commandment. And God sees all of our lust, all our pride, all our covetousness. The law, well, it magnifies our sin. We are all lawbreakers in the sight of God. And dear friends, this is what we have to understand. If you were in a court of law, if you stood before a judge, and if you'd broken the law, if you'd stolen something, if you'd murdered somebody, let's just imagine, and you stand before a judge, well, the judge has to pass sentence. He has to ensure that the law is fulfilled. You must face the consequences. It doesn't matter if you're a good person. You can't say to the judge, oh, yes, I know I've murdered somebody, but I'm good, really. I did some good charity work. I helped an old person across the road the other day. I know I've committed murder, but, you know, I'm good at heart, really. No. You have to face the sentence. And the sentence for breaking the law of God, what is it? It's death. The sentence, the punishment for breaking the law of God is death. Even since the day of Adam, remember what he said to Adam, you shall surely die. That's the punishment for disobedience. You shall surely die. But again, I point you to Christ. Look at these words in verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to die. We don't have to face the punishment for our sin, because Christ has come and he has suffered and died in our place on the cross. That was where the victory took place. The cross, I know it looks like a defeat. When you think of Christ on the cross, when he was betrayed by his disciple, Judas Iscariot, when he was arrested, when he was scourged, when he was hung up on the cross with the nails through his hands and his feet, doesn't that look like a terrible defeat? The Lord Jesus Christ has lost. No, he hasn't. This is where the victory actually took place. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. On the cross, all of our sins were laid upon him. And he took the punishment. He suffered the punishment for sin. He died in our place instead of us. He was separated from God on that cross. He was forsaken. That's why he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he was being separated, utterly cut off from God instead of us. And this is our victory. Victory can only come when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this, well, this is the gospel, dear friends. This is our victory. This is our reason for rejoicing. This is the reason that we have to give eternal praise to God. Christ has suffered and died for us. And this is what we understand. And of course, we know, and this really is the theme of this passage, that Christ died, but he rose again. The grave could not hold him. He rose again. He appeared to his disciples, and his disciples even saw him go up into heaven. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, what is he doing in heaven? He is preparing a place for us. For all those who believe in him, he's preparing a place for us. That's our home. And one day he will come back for us. And we read what will happen when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Verse 52 in this chapter, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. There will be a great noise that signals the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. All those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and who have died, they will be raised from the dead, incorruptible. Not with bodies that have decayed, but they will be given new bodies, incorruptible. And verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. We are mortal in this life, but when Christ comes again, we enter into immortality, an eternal life in an eternal place where there is no longer any death, where there is no illness, there is no sickness, there are no gravestones there. And why is there no death? Because there is no sin, a place where there is perfect righteousness. Well, dear friends, my time is out, but I have to ask you again, is that where you are heading? Is this your hope? Is this your faith? That death will not claim that victory over you, but that you will one day be with the Lord forever in a glorious place, a place of peace and joy. May this be your hope. Turn to the Lord. Why remain in this world of sin and death when Christ is inviting you to know that great victory? This can be your words. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? If you don't have this victory, well, dear friends, there is no hope for you, but come and know and believe that Christ died for you and you trust in him. Well, let us turn in our hymn books to our final hymn. Hymn number 420, which speaks of the joy that every believer knows when they trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hymn number 420, a very famous hymn of Charles Wesley. Hymn 420. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, we look to thee. Lord, the preacher looks to thee and asks for thy blessing and help upon the word that has been delivered. Lord, we do pray that thou wouldest cause each and every one of us, young and old, to see our great need of Christ. We know that if we are outside the kingdom, if we reject Christ, then it will be death that has the victory over us, death that can come at any time. Oh, dear Lord, may we know that victory. We know that we may come to the end of our lives in this world, but we know that if we trust in Christ, if he is our Savior, there is an eternal world, that this corruptible will know incorruption, that this mortal will know immortality, but only because we have faith in Christ, only because we know that he has taken upon himself the punishment that we deserved. Lord, we thank thee for him. We thank thee that there is that way to eternal life beyond this veil of tears, beyond the valley of the shadow of death. Lord, may his name be magnified and lifted up, even this day and in the days that remain. We ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.